Are you guys ready to get into the message? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that is in your word to change our lives, to take us out of hard situations, to encourage us and to give us courage. So we pray right now, Lord, that you would speak to us through your words and through your actions. Amen. So my dad alluded, I today am talking about the greatest prison break in all of history. I am a history nut. I love watching like the History Channel or Discovery Channel. I love watching those as they do these things. And I went back into my studies. I started, or into Google, because that's like where you learn everything. I started looking at what are the most amazing prison breaks in history. So I got two for you guys. The first actually isn't necessarily the break, the prison break. It's the guy that did the prison break. And his name was Jack Shepherd. Jack Shepherd, in 1 year, broke out of jail 4 times. What? I know you guys are thinking, what an amazing prison breaky, but what a horrible hider. Because how did you get into prison 5 times? In 1 year, he was in prison. He broke out 4 times. He actually was in England. It was in the 1700s. He broke out so often, he became a celebrity in England. This convict, this criminal, was a celebrity. And people would actually, he had fans, and they would surround the prisons waiting to see him break out. Isn't that incredible? And this one story goes that that he actually tied the bed sheets together like what we see on cartoons, right? And he scales down the prison. The prison guards don't even know he's gone yet. People are shouting and clapping for him as a criminal is escaping prison. And he gets down on the ground. He bows to his crowd. And he says, he went that way. And then he ran this way. Trying to get... This guy was a showman. He was one of the good ones. But the one I like more, it's actually based off a movie, but we don't see the ending of it. It's a guy named Frank Avagnale Jr. I don't know if you guys seen that movie, Catch Me If You Can, with Leonardo DiCaprio. But this movie was based off of a real guy's life. He was an absolute genius. But he went, you know, to a criminal, and he would forge bank papers. He would forge paintings. This was real. He impersonated. He's just a genius. He'd impersonate pilots. That's like one thing I never want to anybody to impersonate or be on that plane. He impersonated a doctor. That's the only thing worse than a pilot. Lawyers. I mean, it's just incredible. The FBI tried to get him for so long. And at the end of the movie, as with history, finally the FBI gets him and puts him in jail. But the movie stops there. Let me tell you what happens. Because he doesn't stay in jail very long. This guy. Oh my goodness. A U.S. Marshal takes him to a different prison. The U.S. Marshal forgets the detention papers, which isn't a big deal. He's still going to go to jail. It's not like he gets out. But Frank takes his opportunity as he sees it. The U.S. Marshal leaves, and Frank subtly, carefully hints to the prison guards that he's actually an undercover prison inspector. He's this well-spoken, intellectual, clean guy. He did not fit the mold. He didn't have papers. It had "the boss is spying on us" written all over it. And he subtly made these moves. And when the time, he would get the best rooms, because the guards all knew this guy's, he's checking in on us. He got the best room, whatever, prison cell. The best privileges, the best food, the best everything. And when it was time, he called one of his friends that the FBI agent had visited while the FBI agent was trying to get him. And he said, hey, remember that card the FBI agent gave you? I want you to redoctor it up and put your phone number there. And I need you to make me a prison inspector card. And so they go to meet one time, and he smuggles them in the cards. And Frank stands up. He says, hey, let me get the guards here. I just want to let you guys know you guys did an excellent job. The best prison I have ever spied on. I'm going to write the best report about you guys. Here's my card. Here's my FBI agent's card. Please call them. They call the FBI agent and goes to his friend. And that day, Frank walks out of jail, gets in the car, and drives away in the sunset. While all the prison guards are shaking each other's hands, patting their back, like, we really did it this time. They did it. They really did do it. What an incredible prison break. But there is an even better prison break that I want to read. One that has more crazy stories about it. One that is way more miraculous. One that absolutely puts both of those guys to shame. You guys ready to read what that one's about? All right. Before we read it, I want you to know this. We are going to dissect this story because this story is about how to break out of prison, how to break, it follows how we can break out of prison, spiritual prison, how we can jump into the miraculous territory that God offers us, how we can gain our freedom. How many of you guys want more freedom in your life? How many of you guys would like to live in miracle territory in your life? Set up camp there and see what God does. Well, let's read out of this prison break how we can do that. You guys ready for it? Yeah. All right, we are looking at Acts 12, and we are going to start with 1 through 6. We're going to slowly go through it. This is pre the prison break. This is the events leading up to it. 12, 1 through 6 says, "Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread when he had seized Peter, put him in prison, delivering him to," how many? "Four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending that after the Passover to bring him out before the people to kill him. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. And on the very night, on that very eve, when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in the front of the door were watching over him." Okay, so let me ask you a question. Does this look like a good situation for Peter? Oh, absolutely not. The first thing I want to look at of how we can live in freedom, how we can move out of spiritual slavery or never get in jail, how we can move into to miracle territory. The first thing I want to look at is one of the first aspects we see, and that is the power of what we see in here. This is we need to remember this principle, the power of what we see in here. What did Peter see, hear, and feel? An impossible situation, didn't he? What was before him? Well, he knew that James, his friend, his brother in Christ, was just killed. This was a real situation. This was not fake. James just died, and I am sitting ready to be the next James, the next martyr. How many guards? Four squads, each squad having four soldiers. There was 16 soldiers guarding Peter. Okay, so it was like Peter a Houdini? No. Was Peter this crazy violent guy that like we have to have all these guards around him? No. Was he some crazy prison breaky? No. What was Peter? All he was a fisherman. Like, does a fisherman need that many soldiers? No. The thing about us fishermen is we're lazy. That's why we fish, right? Why? Here are 16 soldiers guarding Peter. Does that seem overkill? What else do we find out? We find out that they were laying on his right, on his left. Maybe he was actually chained to him. It says that there was two chains binding him. They were in front of the door. They were behind the door. They were whatever, up and over the hill. They were everywhere, right? 16 soldiers. What was the power of what Peter saw? Let me ask this. Do you think Herod gave him 16 soldiers because he wanted to make sure that Peter would not escape jail? No, you could probably just lock the door for that. Herod was trying to give Peter despair. He was trying to paint a picture for Peter that was hopeless. He was trying to show him that you are in an impossible situation. There is nothing that you can do. What Herod was trying to put in front of Peter was absolute hopelessness and defeat. Does the enemy try to do that to us? Yeah, he does. Let me ask a question real quick. We're going to get right back to that. How many of you guys have ever experienced motion sickness? Probably almost all of us. Seasickness, get sick driving. My wife, I know my mom cannot drive and read at this. None of us are supposed to drive and read at the same time. But actually, I will tell you this. I was driving down from Pine Valley, and there's a car, and I can see out of the rearview mirror that there's this lady literally driving and reading at the same time. I'm like, babe, look at this person right now. And as the car comes up, she's driving and reading, and all of a sudden I realize, oh my goodness, that is Lauren Heilman right now. I knew who that was. like calling, get off the phone and stop reading. But some of us, when we read inside the car, we get sick. And this is the reason why. Or when you're in a boat, you get sick. This is the reason why. There's two things inside our body that explain that show balance and neutrality. It's what our eyes see, but it's also the inner ears. Our very inner ear is something called the vestibule, and that is what tells us what is normal, what is reality, and helps us to not get sick. But when you sit in a car and you read a book that is absolute stationary, your mind says nothing's moving, but your ear says, oh, we're moving, I feel it. And what's motion sickness comes between a conflict of what you see and what you feel. It's a conflict of what's in front of you and the reality of the whole situation. You guys get this? And what the enemy tries to do to us is the same thing that Herod tried to do to Peter. He tries to get us to only focus on one part of reality and stop looking at the whole. Do you get that? He tries to make us focus on one part of reality. And when we focus on that one part of reality, it makes us sick, doesn't it? It can take away our hope, because what do we usually focus on? The good or the bad? Well, the bad is usually right. The enemy doesn't want us to focus on the good. He sends us on the impossible circumstances that we feel are in front of us. And he zooms us in really close so that we keep paying attention to that thing and we ignore all of the reality. What was in front of Peter? What Peter could have done is he could have focused in on the reality of the situation that was in front of him. But let me tell you this, that is only part of the reality that was going on. Because I'll tell you this right now, for every single Christian, you can always remember this one thing. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is never, ever, 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 ever a time in a Christian's life where there is no hope. There is never, ever a circumstance or a situation ever for a Christian that is hopeless. You guys believe that? But sometimes we feel like that, don't we? We're up in front of a circumstance and we're like, oh, there's nothing beyond this. It's because we've zoomed too far in and our spiritual life is getting sick and we are forgetting to look at something great that the Lord gave us, the spiritual realm. Now I got to look where I am. Prison guards, Herod, he tried to overwhelm them in despair. Satan tries to do that to us. He tries to take away our hope through showing us impossible circumstances. You may feel like you're in here with an impossible circumstance. It's a family thing going on. Maybe it's a work thing. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's a hurt thing. Maybe it's a rejection thing. But I'm telling you right now, absolutely, you have hope in front of you. You may be sitting in here and you're like, Neil, you don't understand what I have going on against me. You don't understand the mountain of things that are coming that want to crush me down. You know what I have to say about that? You're looking at part of the reality, because the other part of the reality is that many of us don't actually understand what we have going for us and what we have going against us. What's that scripture I love? He that is for me is greater than he that is against me. I think I said that right. I might have mixed it up. Listen, no matter what circumstance that I am in, hope is always there as long as I move back and take a look at it all. Satan tries to show us all the people that have the things that we want, the job we want, the kids that are actually good that we want, the money that we want, the marriage that we want, and we get so focused that we don't even realize the reality of what we have. There's a lot of power in what we pay attention to. The enemy is going to try to get you to look at the hurt things where the Lord wants you to step back and look at the reality of things. You guys ready to play a game? Yeah. All right, we got to play games at church, okay? I want to show you a video. I want you guys to watch this video and look at this dot. Before this video starts, I promise you this is not one of those scary videos where you look at it and something jumps out at you, okay? So don't be worried about that. I promise that this is a fun video and you will leave saying amen, okay? So we're going to show a video. I want you to pay attention to this dot because it's going to say something about what we focus on. All right, let's show that video.
Take a look at the photo on your screen. Recognize this woman? Natalie Portman, right? How about this one? Yeah, that's J-Lo. You probably recognize most of these famous faces, right? And they're all looking as attractive as usual. Now we're going to show you the same photos again. But this time, I want you to keep your eyes focused on the yellow star in the middle of your screen. But stay aware of the photos with your peripheral vision. Notice anything weird in your peripheral vision? Are Hollywood's beautiful people suddenly looking a little less beautiful? Are you seeing some bizarre foreheads and oddly shaped faces? If so, that's totally normal. But here's the thing, we're not altering the photos at all. Your brain is. If you want to find out how, stick around.
Okay, how many of you guys noticed the monsters that these celebrities turned into? Right? I don't know about you guys, but the ugliest one was definitely Clint Eastwood when I looked at it. Did you guys see like what he looked like? So I don't know if you guys didn't see it, when you looked at the star and your peripheral took what they thought the reality was, it started distorting those celebrities, right? You guys experienced that, right? That preaches right there, doesn't that? Ready? What we focus on, what we pay attention to is important, because if we focus on the wrong thing, reality gets distorted, doesn't it? When I focus on my problems, when I pay all my attention to what the enemy is trying to show me, reality gets distorted, hope gets stripped from my life, and I get the whines, don't I? I get the, I'm so sad, suck my thumb, I don't know how to get life. That's what happens when reality gets distorted. Peter is sitting in this situation, and he can be a victim of the power of what he sees and what he hears. And the truth is, we can be the same victims. So my question to you is, what is in front of you? Because remember, whatever problem, whatever situation, whatever is going on, what is in front of you, the enemy wants to make it 1,000 times bigger. He wants it to be the only thing you see. But the Lord wants you to step back, and he wants to show you that the reality, that it's not all about the physical world. Oh, man, there's a whole nother dimension to this world, the spiritual world. And when we start looking at that, impossible, overwhelming odds turn into victory, freedom, and hope. How many of you guys want more freedom inside of your life? We got to look at the right things. How many of you guys want more hope inside of your life? You got to step back and say, this looks hopeless, but let's see what God can do. What a difference. Okay, you guys ready to go to the next point? Okay, this is point number 2. We're going to find it in verse 5. Power of what we see in here, we're going to go to the next one. And this, you got to think about the situation that Peter was in. It looked absolutely hopeless, except in verse 5, we read this. It looks horrible, all these guards, 16 of them. So Peter was kept in prison. What's that next word? So Peter was kept in prison. What was that next word? But prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. I love this thing because it introduces our next point, and that's the power of the but. One T. The power of that one three-letter word when you put that into your life. But in the Bible, but is my favorite word, okay? I circle them, I highlight them. Not all of them, just the good ones, right? Because that word right there, it's a coordinating conjunction like yet and however. And what that word does is it takes what is, and then it says, but, and then it goes, this is what it could be. Come on now. This is what is, this is what's currently happening, but this is what could be. When we put the but into our life, into our circumstances, all of a sudden we go from hopelessness to filled with hope. All right, you guys ready? We're going to look at the 5 best buts of the Bible. You guys ready for this? We're going to look at Romans 6:23. If you don't like it, Dave loves emails, so you can email Dave about this stuff, all right? I took my 5 favorites, okay? Well, here's one right here. For the wages of sin is death, period. No, there's no period right there, is there? Lord Jesus, thank you that there's not a period after that sentence, but instead, there is a but. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. How many of you guys are excited about that but? Me too. We need to start looking and seeing all the buts that we have inside our lives. Let's look at Psalm 73, 26 says this, my flesh and my heart may fail me. Thank you that it doesn't stop there. Thank you that my life, my flesh and my heart may not consume me in their failures, but God is the strength of my heart and he is my portion forever. Aren't you guys happy that God put that but there? It takes what could be, but it tells you, or it takes what is, but what, and gives you what could be. Psalm 6, 31 through 33. This is like a life verse of mine. I love this verse. That's not it. I meant Matthew 6, 31 through 33. It says this, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? Don't worry about everything. Don't worry and complain and say, I need this, I don't have this, I need. Because what does it say? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What do we have to do? I don't have to worry so much about my tomorrow, because today I just need to seek God and his kingdom and his righteousness, and he's going to take care of tomorrow. Isn't that amazing? We're not done. We have two more. Fourth on our list is of best buts is Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing. Okay. How many of us live in anxiousness, anxiety? Look, he's saying right now, look, because of that, but we do not have to live in anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, but kick things on stage. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what does he do? He comes through for us. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. We put that but in our life, and all of a sudden, I don't have to live in anxiety anymore. All right, John 16, 33. I really like this one. We're gonna end strong. You guys ready? These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. I'm so happy that it doesn't stop there. I am so happy that it goes a little bit further, because he says, but take courage, because I have overcome the world. This is the power of the but inside of our lives. It gives us, it but has two sides to it. There's a good but and a bad but, no pun intended. The good but, it gives us power. The good but is those scriptures we read. It's this is, but God can do this. But there's a bad but too, isn't there? Because in this story, there's two buts. There's the but they were praying fervently, and there's also the but there were 16 guards. Oh, but I was chained, two chains, but they just killed James. There's the but of excuses that we can live in. See, but has power to give us courage or to strip it. It could instill in us bravery, or it can make us give up. It could make us look to God and get hope, or it can fill us with fear, can't it? Because there is power in the but, and we have to make sure, again, no pun intended, that we are looking at the right one. The yet. The truth is, if we are not emboldened by the first, we will be overcome by the second. Here he is, all this bad stuff. Yet in his life, in this situation, he in order to get in freedom, God put that but there was people praying. And it changed it. Because that's what but does. That's what it does. It changes situations. It's a game changer in our life. It adds us in to the miraculous. When we put that word into our circumstances, I am barely swimming in my finances, but God, I'm going to give it to you and see what you do. I could never tithe. That's crazy. But God, you did tell me to do it anyway. There is a mountain of problems in my life. But there's always what God can do. Everything may feel against you, but remember, God is for you, so it doesn't matter. Do you guys understand the power of being able to say, but God is for me? Oh, but God is for me even in the circumstances I am in? That's an incredible thing to be able to call on. Young person, you may be in here and you have that feeling that all of us did when we were young. Oh, I'm never going to get married, right? I'm never going to get a real job. I'm never going to, whatever, buy a house or live in, I don't know, fill it in the blank, right? Get 100 likes on Facebook. It's never going to happen. Can I tell you something? One of the reasons why I love that scripture we read is because it puts me, that one we read in Matthew, I'm going to quote it again right now. It puts me in the right perspective. Look, I may worry about all this stuff, but I have one thing I can remember. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his righteousness, and then let God take care of the rest. I can try all I want to get married, or I can just let God do it for me. Is that true? You may be looking at your marriage and say, my marriage is beyond restoration. My business is beyond fixing. My finances are beyond whatever, coming out of my whatever. But let me tell you this. God has dealt with marriages worse off than yours. He has dealt with businesses that are worse off than yours and finances that are way more deeper in a hole than yours. And if you will just look to God and stop looking to your accountant, to your whatever, you will start seeing there is a lot of hope out there for every Christian, because every Christian, no matter where you are, no matter what you're in, always has one thing, hope. It is never hopeless for us. So my question is, what but is in front of you right now? What do you need to add that three-letter word into your life today? You may have been to 1,000 Sunday morning churches, services, but this one can be different. Maybe you came here saying, Lord, I need you to talk to me. I need you to give me a word. You need to answer this situation. Maybe your answer is three letters long. Oh, I did it again. Maybe you just need to hear that thing. We're going to go to the next one. The next one will be faster. Oh, no. The next one will be faster, though. The next one, we're going to keep reading on along in the story. We've seen two of the elements. How do you break into freedom? Well, first, look at the right things. Second, add the but to your life. Third, let's read. We're going to read verses 6 through 10. We haven't seen the miracle yet. We haven't seen the prison break yet. We've been looking at what happens before it, but here it comes. You guys ready to see it? And on the very night, the very eve that Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone inside that cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands, because that's normal, right? Chains just falling off. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself, put on your sandals, get ready." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and the second guard, as they're like, "All right, well, I'll be back in a little bit. Hold on," right? He's invisible walking by the guards. Now I'm going to this side. They came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened by itself, totally normal again. And they went out and went along the street, and immediately the angel departed at him. Best prison break ever done. Right there. The part that I want to look at right now is in the very first part of this verse. It says that Peter was asleep. What wasn't he? See, the next principle is the power of being awake. We need to be awake to get the miracle. See, God does not walk around like Harry Potter with a wand, hitting situations in front of us so that we don't have to do anything. Something my dad says that I love, that I quote quite often. He says, "Without God, we cannot." You guys ever felt that? Amen? But without us, he will not. See, God chooses to use us to get us into freedom. He doesn't just do it for us. He says, "I will help you. I will be your strength, but you need to walk forward." Peter had a job to do, didn't he? He had a job. The angel didn't just go up and hit him on the head with a wand, and all of a sudden Peter was like teleported to somewhere else. He had a job to do that he couldn't do asleep. When we were first married, it was December. I'd been married 2 months, and I was young. We were living in like a small place, and you guys lived in those small places. And I would have to go to work before my wife was awake. So this one morning, I wake up, and like I get out of bed, I turn around, I'm like already in my bathroom. It was so small of a house. And it's like 5:30 in the morning, and I'm brushing my teeth, and I spit into the sink, and it was all red. Not like my gums were bleeding red, like I had just eaten licorice red. And I remember at 5:30 looking at it, my eyes like barely able to wake up, and I thought, I didn't eat any candy. And then I thought, wait, I brushed my teeth last night. And then I remember it was 5:30, and I was like, I don't care. and I went and got ready. And on my way, after I got all my clothes on, I was ready to go to work, I start walking out of the bathroom through my kitchen / dining room / living room / family room, little place. And it's December, and my Christmas tree is knocked over. Bulbs broken all over the place. And I'm not joking, all of these candy wrappers all eaten everywhere. I sleptwalked last night, and I ate all that candy. And apparently I knocked over the Christmas tree and ran in bed so my wife didn't know. I guess. I don't know. If I had not brushed my teeth and saw that, I would have said, babe, someone broke into our house and all they stole was our candy. But there was evidence on my mouth. You know, the truth is we can be awake and be completely asleep at the same time. I have no memory at all. It's like some Jason Bourne thing. No memory at all of that situation. Nothing. Some of us go through our life exactly like that. See, we haven't experienced the miraculous power of God. We haven't experienced the freedom that has been talked about from up on stage, or we've heard other people say, because the truth is physically we're awake. And by this time in the message, maybe physically we're asleep, but hopefully we're not. Physically we're awake, but spiritually we're still asleep. One thing I really like about Peter laying there, I really like this part. I absolutely believe that Peter was spiritually awake because of the fact that he was physically asleep. How hard would it be to sleep in that situation? Like impossible. Unless you were sleeping because God will do whatever he wants to do. And I can worry about this thing all night long, or I can give it to God because he's going to be awake anyway. He was sitting there, and I love this. The angel comes in, and he's physically asleep because I believe he's spiritually awake and able to sleep. And the angel pokes him. Have you guys poke your kid in the morning, you all wake up, and they're like, oh, I'm sick, Mom, right? How many pokes does it take to get to the end of it? Sucker, whatever that thing is. How many pokes does it take to get your kid up? He's sitting there and he gives him one poke. And Peter wakes up because spiritually he was always awake. The guards didn't wake up. None of the guards saw what was going on because they were spiritually asleep. I wonder this. I worry about this. How many of us, how many times does God go out? It's time he's ready to do something miraculous. He's ready to move on behalf of something, and he comes to move, but he finds us spiritually asleep. You know, that's a good way to miss your miracle, isn't it? It's a good way to miss the freedom that God wants to bring. It's a good way to stay spiritually in prison. Peter could have been woke up and said, not now, and moved to the side. Oh, I'm okay to die. It's all right. I just want to sleep right now, right? It's the power of being awake. Let me change this page. Many people sleep through God's moving. We start having a been there, done that attitude. You know, we go to church, but we need to make sure of something. We may go to church, but that does not mean that we're awake. I went and ate candy. That didn't mean I was awake. Some of us come here. I want to ask you a couple questions I want you to think about to define if we're awake or if we're asleep. Do you come here with passion or do you come here with tradition? Oh, that's a good one, Neil. Do you come Sunday morning excited like this is the Lord's day? I get to go to church and I get to praise God with all of my family in union and sing out to him and see what he gets to do. And I get to hear the word being preached and I get to feed my soul. Or do you come here because it's Sunday? Your alarm wakes you up at this time, and that's what you've done for the last 20 years, so it'll be what you're going to do for the next 20 years. See the difference? Do you come here and feel the presence of God, or do you come here and fill a seat? These are things that we need to ask ourselves. Are you bored with your Christianity, or are you saying, oh my goodness, I'm learning new things all the time? See what I'm saying? Do your coworkers even know you're Christian? There's these questions that we can ask that will tell us, are we ripe to see what God wants to do in our life? I keep telling God, this situation is beyond me, but am I awake when you come to move? That's another question. And my prayer is that we all wake up. I want to go through the last little part right here that I didn't get to the other services, but we're moving faster, okay? You guys want to go to the next part, the fourth one? You're the only guys that get this. This is our secret, okay? It's the power of being expectant. It's the power of being expectant. We have the power of what we see in here, the power of the butt, the power of being awake. Now, here's the other way to get our freedom, to move where God wants to do the miracle, is that we need to expect and anticipate that he's going to actually do what he says. Let's look at verses 12 through 14. He gets out of jail. It's his prison break. It's his prison escape. And he goes to the house that they're fervently praying. And when he realized that he was good, what had happened, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And he knocked at the door of the gate, and the servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the front of the gate. I want to tell you how I see this right now, okay? I see this girl, Rhoda, okay? And she's a servant girl, and she's excited because you know who's praying right now? Like, go into that room, check out the disciples and the people, and look how fervently they're praying. And she's sitting at the door like, God, what are you going to do? What's going to happen? Can I see it? Can I watch it? I know something's going to happen. Why do I say she's doing that? Simply because of this. Peter's supposed to be in jail. If Peter says, yo, this is Peter right here, you're going to be like, I don't know about that, right? But if you were sitting there expectant, you know that she just goes, hey, this is woo! It's happening right now, everybody. Peter's at the door. Do you guys get it? This girl was expectant. She was anticipating it. She was ready for it. She was watching for it. You know, we need to learn something from this little servant girl, don't we? We need to learn. It's not just about adding the butt into our life. It's about looking for what he's going to do, expecting it and anticipating it. You know, the truth is, most of us Christians can be a lot better at expectancy, can't we? Let's have the band come up here right now. Most of us Christians can be a lot better at expectancy. We can do better at looking and anticipating and watching and having our eyes out for what God's going to do. Let's take today right now. Man, I'm expectant that God wants to do something in here. I'm anticipating what God wants to do out here. I've heard from the other services what God has already done, and now we have more people here. So I want to see more. Do you guys get this? You are in here right now. And you may have something inside. Let's stand up right now, actually. We're going to just do this. You are in here right now, and you're thinking about something going on in your life as I'm talking about impossible circumstances, as I'm talking about hardships going on, as I'm talking about feeling overwhelmed, and you know exactly what that thing is. Can I tell you right now, you can be expectant because you're in the Lord's house. Do you need God to move? Do you need him to do something? Do you need him to add his miraculous power inside of your life? Well, he wants to see you get a little bit excited about it and anticipate it and expect it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the front right here. If you expect God to do, if you believe me right now and you expect that God wants to give you freedom and he wants to add his miraculous supernatural power into your situation and he wants to help you with what you're looking at, if you expect it, then why not show him? You get it? He says very clearly that if we need something, you do not have because you do not ask. He says, where two or more come together, there I am in the midst. Where one puts to flight 1,000, 10 puts to flight 10,000. How many people do we have in this room? How many could put to flight? You get what I'm saying? I want to encourage you right now. We're going to open up this front. We'll have a longer time if we need to, because we're doing great on time. Good job. If you want to experience the presence and power of God released inside of your life, I want to ask you to get expectant, to come up forward here and to pray with someone that God would do just that. That God would show you the butt that he wants to put inside of your life. That he would show you all the things that are for you. So you stop paying attention to all the things that are against you. You can come up and you can privately do it to him as you kneel like he says. You don't have to wait till I'm done. If God's moving on you, don't let me stop you. Please move right now. But I will tell you this. If you want to come and you want to just stand, we have an entire ministry team that wants to join with you in the prayer to let the miraculous power of God move inside of your life and let the things that are impossible, the things that are too heavy, become small and insignificant compared to what God can do through you. All right, let's worship and let's pray. Amen.